Hi guys, it's Joanne. Real quick before we get to the show, I just wanted to let you know that today is kind of a special episode. We have Monica Tanner from the podcast On the Brighter Side, and I am her special guest on her podcast today as well. So I just wanted to give you a heads up that maybe after you listen to today's episode, you could search for Monica's podcast On the Brighter Side and listen to her most recent episode where she interviews me. So much fun. You are listening to the Fancy Free podcast where my girlfriends and I tell our most embarrassing funny stories so that we all feel less alone in our imperfections. I'm Joanne Jarrett and I'm your host. And today I have with me a new girlfriend, Monica Tanner. Monica is, she says, wife to a hunky man, which I think is absolutely adorable. She's the boss mom of four small humans, a weekly podcaster on the Brighter Side, and a marriage and intimacy enthusiast. I'm one of her podcast fans, and that's kind of how we met. Her passion is helping mamas feel sexy and enjoy intimacy with their spouse. So, Monica, thank you so much for being with me today.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. We're going to get down and dirty.
Yes, awesome. Well, fill in the blanks. What did I miss about who you are and what you do?
I identify myself as a human first, right? And then a wife and a mom. And that's mostly what I do. I'm lucky my kids are getting older and can take care of themselves a lot better now. And so I tend to have leftover energy and I use that energy to help other wives and mamas feel super confident about themselves sexually and intimately and what they're doing in their relationships to strengthen that. So I think this is fun because you use laughter to relieve stress and to kind of lower the bar, and I use sex to relieve stress and lower the bar. So we're a good team.
And you know, sometimes they merge, don't they?
That's right. I love funny sex. Laughing through sex is my favorite way to do it, for sure.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Scott and I have a good history of that. One of my favorite podcast episodes of yours is episode 110, Good Girls Talk About Sex with Leah Carey. And I feel like this is such an important thing to put out there for people who've been raised in certain cultures. I think in general, we're much more open about sex than we used to be. But depending on where you grew up, it can be kind of hush-hush and taboo. And this is not healthy for us. And so I just love that you are bringing it to the forefront. It's so important in romantic, intimate relationships. And we definitely go through phases in our lives and we could use some support rather than acting like it doesn't exist. We need to talk to each other about it and support each other where we can. So thank you for doing that. It's so awesome.
It's true. Yeah, I love it. I was actually raised by a mother that was so extremely open with her sexuality. I mean, I remember being like 4 years old and she's showing me, you know, male, female parts and how they go together and all of these things where I didn't even know to be embarrassed yet. But as I got older, she just continued to give me the most embarrassing sexual experiences ever. And so I married my husband who grew up in this very kind of strict, religious, straight-laced, very conservative atmosphere where they didn't talk about sex at all. And so the best thing I think about my husband and I is we come from two totally different universes in every way. We were raised so differently and have had such different experiences. And it's been really fun to combine those and try to figure out the best way we think to raise our kids with two totally different perspectives.
Yeah, you can just interlace the two experiences and take what you loved from each one and kind of dovetail them. Yeah, I love that. My husband and I weren't raised so as differently as you and your husband were, although I was raised in a religious household and he was not. But we were both raised in a nuclear home with a mom and a dad and a stay-at-home mom and stuff. So we were both raised pretty traditionally. But our personalities are so different that that is where we really have a lot of spark in our relationship, is that he is everything I'm not and I'm everything he's not. And so we've learned so much from each other. We're not merging into the same person. We're just kind of learning from each other and expanding our own personalities. And to be able to sort of show that to our kids has been so much fun. So yeah, marriage is a trip, isn't it?
I love it. Well, that's one of my favorite parts about marriage, because hopefully you didn't marry your clone, right?
Exactly. How boring would life be if we were all the same?
Exactly. I mean, I think it's important to, you know, have certain values that are the same. But other than that, I think it's such a beautiful harmonizing, juggling act to bring together people with completely different experiences, completely different views, and put those together and then really appreciate how those things balance each other out. And so that's mm-hmm. been really, really fun for me to discover all of those things. And, you know, we laugh because I was raised Jewish and then I am now Christian and we raise our children very Christian. And so a lot of times I'm like, sometimes I just feel a little more Jewish and that just gives me permission to do whatever I want.
I love it. That's so cute. Isn't it so fun to see the culture of your household develop and to see the personality of your kids blossom? And the crazy thing is we kind of knew what we brought into this marriage, right? But then when the kids are born, it's like this brand new existence. My kids are just so unique. I never could have predicted the kind of kids that would pop out of me. And it's just, they're such cool people. It's so much fun.
It's true. And they come how they come. And I actually kind of pat myself on the back. I think my kids are turning out really well. At the same time, I'm also saving for their therapy because I know that that's in the cards, right? I mean, I feel like I'm kind of nailing this motherhood thing, but at the same time, I'm like, we're just going to have a backup plan because yeah. I'm certain they'll find reasons why their mother caused them to need therapy. So.
Oh my gosh. I know. I was born embarrassed. I was embarrassed to exist until I was, you know, an adult, basically. And now I'm very hard to embarrass and I see the humor in things. And that in turn embarrasses my kids. And I don't mean for it to. I'm like, I'm sorry, honey, you know, but I have to keep reminding myself that they're in this really fragile place. And I'm not the mother I ever dreamt I would be. I thought I was going to be a carbon copy of my mom. And that would have been fabulous and awesome because she's an amazing mom. But I'm my own quirky way with my kids. And right now, while we're all home, all of that is really amplified. There's the good side and the bad side to that, for sure. How are you guys faring being quarantined?
Oh, you know, we're doing good. I actually love it. Like, it makes my heart so happy to have my kids here at home, like knowing where they all are and what they're all doing just makes me very, very happy. But I do have a couple of teenagers, and therefore, not only am I saving for therapy, but I also get these massive eye rolls. And so I also have a fund for like the eye doctor because I think that their eyes are going to need some attention because I get eye rolls literally all day long, every day.
So I'm not the only mom because sometimes I'm like, your eyes are going to get stuck in the top of your head.
Oh, yeah.
Like, does that hurt to roll your eyes so hard?
I'm like, I can't even see your pupils anymore. It's just the white. Like, come back skill. To me.
They're highly skilled. Well, as you know, the point of this podcast is to share our not so fancy moments with each other so we realize we're not so alone. We give each other nuggets of laughter to keep in our back pockets for when we need cheered up. And to forge connection. So tell me, what are some of your not so fancy moments?
Yeah, so I'm a little bit worried about this actually. When you sent this to me and, you know, kind of the premise of all this, and I was going back through my memories of all of my very embarrassing moments, I'm like, they all have to do with poop. Is that bad?
No, it's either bodily functions or private body parts, basically, is a lot of it. So no, you're right there in the thick of it. I had no idea how much I was going to be talking about poo and pee when I started this podcast.
Oh, well, we have so many poop moments, for sure. My first really embarrassing moment where I was like, can I just dig a hole and go away for a while, was when I was traveling with my three children for the first time ever on my own. And it was a late night flight. My family lives in Texas and we live in Idaho. And so I had brought my three kids to visit my parents and we were coming back and it was late. And I've got two toddlerish kids that are having so much energy. And we had done the first leg of our flight. We stopped in Denver. And the Denver airport has this really cool indoor playground for kids. And so I was so excited because I was like, hey, we've got a little bit of time. I'm going to let my kids play on this playground for a little bit. I'm going to nurse this baby. And I'm nursing the baby. And all of the sudden, you know, my lap is just warm. And I'm like,
oh, that's a terrible feeling.
I'm like, while this is like this interesting sensation happening, I'm a little bit concerned. And I had every right to be because now I've got poop just literally all over me, all over this child, all over the blanket, all over everything. And I'm like, oh my gosh, because I had packed really late at night. The kids were like kind of in their pajamas. I thought, you know, we're just going to like literally get off of this plane and into our beds and it's not going to be a big deal. I hadn't packed change of clothes, certainly not for myself, but not for the baby. And so I'm like trying to wrangle these toddlers close-ish to the bathroom because I'm like, this isn't going to be a quick fix, right? Mm-hmm. I can't just leave them playing unsupervised on this playground. So I'm trying to wrangle these two toddlers into this small airport bathroom and I'm trying to clean up this child. And she ends up being naked because I mean, I had a diaper for her, but nothing else. So I've got this naked baby. I've got this blanket with poo all over it. I'm literally covered in poo. And now we're in the Denver airport in the wrong terminal.
Now you're in a hurry.
Now I'm like looking at the possibility of missing my flight.
Oh my gosh.
With a naked baby and poo all over me. And I'm like literally just on the verge of tears. I'm like, please, somebody just help me. And the guy with the little cart comes by, right? And I'm like, I've got to get to the next terminal. I'm going to miss my flight. And he's looking at me with these kids that are just bouncing off the ceiling. And he puts me on this cart and I can just see his nose like, you stink so bad. And then I have another 2.5 hour flight where I get to bless some poor people sitting next to me. And luckily, I was able to switch the seating around. So it was just my kids. It was like me and my naked baby and my two kids on either side of me. But I'm certain that other people in that plane could smell me the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
And then I was so happy to see my husband and I was like, you're probably not going to want to embrace any of us right now.
Inhale whatever you do.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry that happened. You know what? I think that you should have been wearing a superwoman cape just for flying with three kids by yourself. That is incredible. For sure. I never did that.
Well, and of course, then I vowed, I'm like, this is never, ever, 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 ever going to happen again. I will never take my three kids alone. And then, you know, a couple years later, the next worst experience I ever had, this one doesn't actually even involve poop, but it was me flying with the three kids again, just like I had sworn to never, ever do again. The poop baby was now a toddler and it was the poop baby. She's so, so, so cute. But anyways, yeah, so the poop baby is now a toddler and we are flying home. Same scenario, it was like a late, late, late flight and the kids are just absolutely exhausted. I have them in their pajamas and they each at this point now have roller bags because one's like, I don't know, maybe 7, 5, and 2 or something. And we're getting off the flight. We actually made it to Boise, you know, without incident. And we're in the Boise airport and it's closed because it's really late. But there was like one of those middle console stores and my toddler wanted some cookies or some chips or she could see something that she really, really wanted. Well, of course I wouldn't have bought them for her anyways, but I really couldn't because they were closed. And this little girl proceeded to throw the most massive temper tantrum. I mean, she's literally dragging her face on the dirty airport floor. And I was so mortified. I mean, everybody is just looking at this like, who is this child's mother? Why are they letting her drag her face on the floor? I mean, she was throwing a massive fit. And I was like, I don't know whose child. These are my two kids. I have no idea.
Where is this child kid's mom?
I'm like, get me out of this airport.
Oh my gosh. That is, yeah. Public tantrums are the worst because you think to yourself, well, these people now know that I'm a horrible mother. It's not just that you think these people think I'm a horrible mother. I think it's at that moment you're not feeling too good about your mothering yourself, right? So it's like, it's just this soul-crushing experience.
Oh gosh, it was horrible, horrible.
Oh, you poor thing. Well, you spend a lot of time in airports. Why is that? You travel a lot, huh?
I do actually travel a lot. Traveling is kind of my thing. It took me years to convince my husband that traveling alone would be fun. So here's another example of how we come from two totally different universes because my family was pretty affluent growing up. And so we took trips and traveled all the time. My parents traveled on their own sometimes, that we had lots of family vacations, whereas my husband almost never ever traveled. And so I had to convince him that eating out at restaurants and taking little vacations and trips with our family, that all of this would be fun. Just, it wasn't even on his radar.
But this is a valuable way to spend some of our disposable income.
It totally. I mean, I was taught like, it's okay to go into debt for travel. Like, we don't do this obviously now, but family vacations were so important to me. And when we got married, I was like, I don't care if we have to max out the credit card to have a family vacation. Like, we are doing it because our kids will remember experiences more than they will remember things. So that's always been kind of like a keystone of my philosophy.
Yeah, okay.
I convinced him. It took a little while, but now he's like, all right, we need a trip. Like, this coronavirus thing, he's like,
he's on board.
We had to cancel our trip to Hawaii. It's been terrible.
Oh, and no, I'm so sorry.
We're ready. We're ready for a trip.
Your poop story reminds me of it's not a poop story per se, but one time, I don't know why this vision just flashed into my head. I hadn't thought about this in a long time. One time I took my girls ice skating in downtown Reno. It was an outdoor rink and it was in the middle of the winter. And I did not think this through. They were young enough that I made them wear helmets, which was their first mortification. Because I'm a physician. My dad's a neurosurgeon. I am not fooling around with head injuries, right? So yeah. They're already the only kids on the ice with helmets. And then I realize I have to go to the bathroom. And I'm not going to leave my kids out there. They're, I don't know, maybe 5 and 7. Well, the only place to go to the bathroom is, we call them sani huts around here. They're like the little square, like phone booth size things that have a...
like a porta potty?
Porta potty. That's it. Yep. So the only thing at this ice rink is a porta potty. Now we're all in ice skates. You know how bulky ice skates are? Yes, so, and I'm like, come on, you guys have to, I have to go to the bathroom. So you got to come in here with me. And just the experience of having 3 people in ice skates in 1 porta potty, I just simply will never forget it.
Wow.
Yes. It wasn't embarrassing per se, but I did feel like I was opening up a clown car when we all exited the porta potty. I thought, now someone's getting an eyeful.
I'm certain people were like, what is going on with that woman?
Yes. I'm just not going to leave them unsupervised. So crazy. Okay. So I have to know, where is your absolute favorite travel destination? Or are you someone who likes to go somewhere different every time?
Oh gosh. I do love to go different places. Thailand was incredible. We just did Costa Rica, which was so much fun. Mm. We love Mexico. Our favorite thing to do with our kids is to cruise now, because once they get their bearings on the ship, we can kind of let them be more independent, and endless ice cream. I mean, who doesn't love that?
Yeah.
My husband and I did this incredible 17-day trip through Europe where we drove.
Oh my gosh, that's my dream.
Yes, we flew into Barcelona, Spain, and we drove the coast of Spain and then the lower coastline of France all the way into Italy. We did most of Italy and then a little bit of Switzerland and came back. That was so fun.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. Have you ever been to family camp?
No, but that sounds amazing.
Yeah. Well, picture, have you seen the movie Dirty Dancing? Those people were at a family camp.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
That was a swankier family camp than I'm used to. But my husband's parents met on staff at a family camp. And basically, it's a summer camp. Usually, they're owned by a city or a county or something. And they're up in the mountains or somewhere. And it's just like sleepaway camp for kids. But families go together and each family stays in a separate tent or cabin or whatever. And they have so many activities. And when you said your kids love the independence on cruise ships, that's what I thought of, because we started going to family camp every year when my youngest daughter was 4. They were 4th generation family campers. We went to Brickley Tuolumne family camp, which actually has now burned down. The one we love most recently is Montecito Sequoia family camp. And for listeners, I'll link to that because I think this is an incredible family experience. And I actually wrote an article about it. Because it's a pretty enclosed environment, there's so much independence to be had for your kids. There are programs for the kids during the day. There are programs for adults. And then you just all come back together at mealtimes. And it's just this incredible, almost inexplicable experience that is such a wonderful thing for families. So if you've never been to family camp or heard of family camp, I think as long as you have kids in their early teen years and down, you got to do it. You got to give it a try.
I love it.
It's so much fun. Do you have a quick life hack for us?
Somebody will compliment one of my kids or something and, oh, your daughter is so good at this. And I'll be like, yep, I can't take credit for any of that. Like, I don't take credit for any of their accomplishments. because I don't want to take credit for their mistakes either.
You cannot take credit for their positives and then deny credit for their negatives. That is so smart. That's such a good point. What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
The best piece of advice that I could give. I'm not sure if anyone actually gave this to me or I just kind of figured it out in the fire of it. But the best piece of advice that potentially I could have ever been given was that you don't have to enjoy all of the stages of motherhood. Mm. It's okay to like some stages more than others or to be good at some stages and not others. For me, I loved my babies. I absolutely loved them to pieces. They were so cute and I loved cuddling them. But I have decided that the whole baby stage, like the years that I was raising babies, were not my best years. I was not good at that, being a mom in that scenario. Like I didn't do sleepless nights very well. I didn't do bodily fluids very well, as we have talked about already. And I wasn't very good at thinking of all the things that I needed to bring along with me. I was always the mom that didn't have a snack or forgot the wipes. Huh. I realized that that period of motherhood was not my finest hour. I didn't enjoy it and I wasn't very good at it. And it's okay because I've gotten all of my kids out of it now. They're all still alive. They're all thriving. And I love this stage of motherhood. I have a couple of teenagers and a couple of preteens, and they're all responsible. And probably the reason why they're so responsible is because they couldn't count on me to remember everything.
Turned out that was a good thing.
Like if they needed a towel for swimming, like they had to just get it on their own or else they would just be cold when they got out of the pool. So my kids are very capable and I love this stage of life that we're in where we can talk about things and I can kind of coach them through difficult situations and emotions. And this is where I thrive. This is my strength. It wasn't the baby phase. And while I love that and cherish some of those moments, I realized that I wish someone had just said, you don't have to be good at all of it. Do what you can. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. It makes me feel like I need to go to some kind of meeting where I say, my name is Joanne Jarrett and I hate babies. I'm with you. I was pretty good at the logistics, but I was very, very overwhelmed by the constant need of me. Yeah. And I very much did not enjoy it as much as I thought. And it was a big sorrow in my life. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it was because it felt like a failure. If somebody had told me, oh, you don't have to like this, it doesn't mean you don't love your kids.
Yes.
That would have been so freeing for me. And so Monica and I are telling you guys, the ones that have babies at home right now, you do not have to love it. You still love your kids. It's okay.
Yes. You can still be a fantastic mom and just not enjoy this phase of life. It's constantly changing and there will be more phases and you will rock some phases and you will suck at some phases and it's totally, totally okay. And I actually think my kids are better for it.
Mm-hmm. You're like, you are so welcome.
Right. It's because I just couldn't do it all. And I know that one of my strengths has been to help them figure out how to solve their own problems because I just couldn't solve them all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's so good. What we could maybe see as a weakness may end up being one of our strengths as a mom. I say I like my kids better every single day. My husband's like, really, every day? And I'm like, well, there are days when, you know, I can have attitude, but in general, I do. They just become these cool people. When babies are born, they are fleshy piles of need. Luckily, they're cute and you love them. I mean, I loved my kids fiercely and so tenderly, but I did not love that stage. Oh, that's so good, Monica. Awesome. What is something surprising about you that nobody would be able to tell just by looking? What's your superpower?
Oh, gosh. Well, I don't know how appropriate this is, but I do feel like my superpower is sex.
Your husband is so lucky.
Yeah, my husband is lucky. No, I I maybe you can edit that out. I don't know.
No, I'm going to leave that. I love it. We go everywhere. I mean, we talk vaginas and babies. Oh, good. I interviewed Abby Jimenez the other day, and we talked about how this geode cake that one of her assistants made ended up looking like a vagina inadvertently, and they put it all out there for sale. We're women. We have body parts. It's okay. We have sex with our husbands. Everybody knows this.
Well, good. Yeah. So a superpower is sex. But going beyond that, I think that my superpower actually is making uncomfortable situations more pleasant. I think just in general, that's my superpower. I think that we can talk about something like sex with people who are uncomfortable talking about sex. And I think that my superpower is kind of de-escalating those types of emotions. Like, this is not comfortable. This is painful. This is scary. This is not right. And I think I have a way of either using humor or self-deprecating humor or some type of strategy to make uncomfortable situations a lot more comfortable for everybody.
Yes. You diffuse tension. Okay. Well, my follow-up question to that then is, do you know your Enneagram number?
Yes, I'm a 7.
Okay, you're a 7. All right. Well, I was thinking you were a 2 because I'm a 2. And I always say my superpower is to make people feel comfortable in uncomfortable situations. Oh, but I can totally see how that would be a 7.
I probably have a very strong 2 wing. In fact, I think when she was telling me about my number, I do have a strong 2 wing, but I am a 7. I'm kind of a happy-go-lucky. Like, life is way too important to be taken so seriously.
I love that. And that totally makes sense where you weren't necessarily good at like remembering all the inventory of the diaper bag, et cetera. Yeah. That totally makes sense for a 7. I love it.
I'm like, just get to the place. Like, why do we need all of these things?
Yes, let's just go have the experience.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, the experience won't be all I need it to be if we don't have every single thing that we need. Oh my gosh, it's so different.
Oh gosh. You know, I clearly remember this situation, and it wasn't that long ago. We were meeting some friends and we were all going on this hike. It's called Jump Creek. And so at the end of this hike, the kids jump into this big pool of water. And so I had them all change into their bathing suits and I was super grumpy. I can't remember. Something unpleasant had just happened. And so I wasn't excited about this outing. I didn't bring water for anyone. I didn't bring towels. I didn't bring anything. And I remember we get to the end of this place and the kids are all jumping in the water, right? And my friends had backpacks, they had blankets, they had snacks, they had towels. They had thought of every scenario and I'm like completely empty-handed. I had nothing. My friends were just laughing at me like, well, what did you think was going to happen when we got here?
Where are your supplies?
Right. And I was like, I don't know. I actually didn't consider it at all. I was thinking, let's get out of the house. Let's take the kids on this hike. Let's get some energy out. I did not think about towels and snacks and blankets and all of the things. And so my kids were all so mad at me. And I was like, this shouldn't surprise you at all. You put your bathing suits on. If you thought you were going to need a towel, you should have brought your own towel.
You know where we keep the towels.
Exactly. That's what kind of mom I am. But at the same time, I'm like, I am preparing my children to be very responsible and, you know, capable of doing their own stuff. And hopefully that serves them well. But also I do have that therapy fund going. So when they're like, my mom never did anything for me, they can handle that.
Tell my listeners where they can find you and learn more about you and find you online and listen to your podcast and all the places where you are.
Yeah, gosh, I love that. Okay, well, if perchance you haven't learned enough about me in this episode that I haven't like freaked you out and you're like, I don't want to know anything more about that person, you can find me on my podcast, which is On the Brighter Side. And that website is www.onthebrightersideoflife.com. And then any of my marriage and intimacy things can be found on www.onthebrightersideofmarriage.com. And so we've got all kinds of freebies on there. We've got web classes, summits, but they can all be accessed through On the Brighter Side of Life as well. And then you can find me on Instagram. I spend a lot of time there at Moni, M-O-N-I, Tanner, T-A-N-N-E-R, and the number 1. So at Moni Tanner 1.
I will, of course, link to all of those in the show notes so that people can find you. Monica, this has been so much fun. I feel like I've spent a day with a girlfriend, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on Fancy Free today.
I love it. Well, it's been so fun to get to know you. Thank you so much.
thank you so much for listening to the Fancy Free podcast. I just love Monica Tanner. She's one of my new heroes. Anybody whose superpower is sex is a hero. But I also loved her willingness to admit her imperfection without apologizing for it. I just love that about her. Make sure to check out the show notes for today's episode, which is episode number 36. You can find those on fancyfreepodcast.com and then click episodes and then find the episode, click on that, and then you'll see a whole bunch of show notes that will give you all of the information you need on the episode. It'll also give you the link to my episode on Monica's show On the Brighter Side. It'll show you a picture of Monica, put a face with a name. I'm going to link to an article I wrote a couple of years ago about our experience at family camp. People have had a lot of fun with that article and tell me it's funny and interesting. And then I'm also, just for you guys, going to put another article on my blog that gives the best 10 family camps in the country and at least one family camp within a day's drive from anywhere in the continental U.S. So that's a really good resource as you're planning your summer trips. And I know everything's so up in the air right now, but you're home and it might be kind of fun for you to start looking into the concept of family camp. It's actually been a really formative experience in our family life. I will also link to Abby Jimenez's Veggio'd cake story. And you guys, it is so exciting. In 2 weeks, on April 13th, we are going to have a very special episode with Abby Jimenez. She is a Food Network champion. She won Cupcake Wars. She's also a USA Today bestselling author with an amazing book that I just devoured called The Friend Zone. She owns Nadia Cakes, which is a cupcake shop that has 3 different locations, and she is hilarious. Not only does she tell us all about the Veggio'd story, but then she has another. We are screaming with laughter as we're recording this episode. You guys are going to love it so much. That comes out in 2 weeks. Next week, we'll have an episode 2, but right now I am shuffling the schedule to incorporate some stuff that's timely for the crisis our country's going through right now. And so I'm not actually sure what I'm going to put on next week, but I'll definitely put a regular episode on next week. And then in 2 weeks, you cannot miss it. You've got to come back for Abby's show. The best way to do that is to hit subscribe wherever you're listening to this episode, so that new episodes pop into your feed each week. If you have a story to tell, you can either go to fancyfreepodcast.com and record a voice memo right on the website, or you can email me at notfancy@fancyfreepodcast.com. If you want more connection and laughter and sharing and bonding and hilarity, you can join the Fancy Free Facebook group. All you have to do is go over to the Fancy Free Facebook group, request membership, answer a couple super easy questions like, where'd you hear about the group? And then I will approve you. The question of the week this week is, what is the most major thing that you have forgotten or failed to pack when traveling? And I'm going to have to think about this for a while, but I know there's something, because there always is. Or it could be the ridiculous things that you pack that you never need, but you can't leave at home. Make sure you're following Fancy Free Podcast on Instagram and tell at least one girlfriend about the show this week. I think right now more than ever, it is so important to share laughter and levity as people are sort of stuck at home and a lot of people are going through personal pain, and not to negate that, but laughter is a nice break from worry and grief even. So yeah, think about somebody in your life who doesn't necessarily listen to podcasts or you know doesn't listen to Fancy Free and would like it, and call them up or text them. You can go to the episode wherever you're listening to it, and then there should be a little box with an arrow coming out of it. You click that and then it'll show you a bunch of different ways to share the episode. You can email it to someone, text it to someone, lots of things. Have a great week, and remember, no one is as fancy as they look.